Male, snail mail.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we are going to continue to talk about how to minister in the supernatural gifts. We've been talking about a kind of a step-by-step approach. And it's not because this is the only way to do it, or even that it's the best way to do it. Because you're going to have to discover that for you. What is your best way? But it's a way to start practicing in the ministering in the supernatural gifts. We all have to start somewhere. And the best place to start is right where you're at. So we've been talking about hearing his voice, gaining confidence, and having that ability to see what he's doing, know what's on his heart, know what he wants for others in general ways. When we have experienced God's freedom in our own lives, we want that for others. And if you don't, that's a good indication that there's an area there that the Lord wants to talk to you about. If you don't want others to experience freedom, if you want others to pay for their mistakes, they're going to anyway. Let God deal with people's bad behavior, the mistakes. We all make them. God knows what he's doing. Let him do that. We can still ask for mercy and grace and extend that. If they need to suffer consequences, God will take care of that. We don't need to defend right. We don't need to defend God, stand up for him. He's really good at doing that himself. Instead, put your time and your energy and your effort into what God wants you to be doing. As you develop that hearing, that level of satisfaction that you're looking for will begin to grow. Not out of being productive or getting attention or any other thing that you may have thought this is what satisfies. Because only knowing God satisfies. And ministering in the supernatural gifts is one way we get to know God. Know by experience, not by learning, not by education or study, but by experience. It's one thing to know God loves you. It's another thing to experience his love for you. So we want to be available to whatever God is doing in our lives. Give him the freedom. Lord, whatever you have for me, that's what I want. I know you want what's best for me, and I want what's best for me. So we're in agreement. Lord, whatever it is, do it. So just as a quick recap, the steps we've talked about before already, we come at learning to minister in the supernatural gifts with the foundational approach of desiring the gifts God has for us. That God wants us to want these gifts, these characters, these abilities, these senses that are in our soul. He wants us to learn, and he wants us to want to learn. He doesn't want to fight us, in other words. He doesn't want to have to talk us into doing something that he wants us to do. He wants us to be on the same page with him. So we start there, that, okay, Lord, I want this. I know this is going to stretch me. I know there may be things that aren't comfortable, but I want whatever you want for me. I desire what you desire for me. I choose what you have chosen for me. Get on his page. So then we start with acknowledging that the gifts that are available and working in you are to be used depending on God. Second is be available. Acknowledging that what God is going to do, he's going to do in his own timing, whenever he chooses. And all we have to do is be available. And he will give us the training and the opportunity. Third is study. We will set our minds to develop and set aside the time and the discipline and the waiting on him, that cultivating that quietness. And also he may have some particular things. For instance, if the Lord has placed on your heart that you want to learn how to move in the gift of healing, one thing that may be very helpful is if you study anatomy or study diseases. Ask the Lord, this is something I'm interested in. Will studying anatomy help? Is this something I should be looking to do? Then step four is training. Ask the Lord for training in that specific gift. Now, of course, he wants to train you and he's going to train you. But by asking, you are cooperating. You are acknowledging the partnership, that it's a joint venture. God doesn't like being taken for granted. When you ask someone, you are acknowledging that they have a say in the matter. When you assume they're going to do something, you take that choice away from them. So when we ask God to do something we know he wants to do, we are acknowledging a relationship, a partnership. We want to give him an opportunity to say yes. So then step five was practice. Looking for opportunities throughout the day. Don't wait for conditions to be right. They never will be. Don't wait to get to church. Don't wait to get around religious people, Christians, or people who even, you know, are doing the same thing. Wherever you're at right now is an opportunity to practice. Number six is review. Set up a regular schedule to to review your progress. And that leads us into number 7, adjust. Because we are all in the learning process, and odds are we always will be while we're here on this earth, we all make mistakes, both in using the gifts and being corrected by others. One of the reasons we want to learn to be dependent on the Lord is so that instead of relying on a person, a church leader, because they are just as likely to make mistakes. Only God doesn't make mistakes. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the outcome he wants. So the more we are dependent on the Lord to be our mentor, our personal trainer, our teacher, our instructor, our everything, the more likely we are going to be able to make the most of every training opportunity. So we're going to have to learn how to deal with correction, both when we make mistakes and others point that out, but also when we don't make a mistake and we're still challenged that we made a mistake. And likewise, how we treat others when they make mistakes or when we think they make mistakes. So just this whole area, how do we approach that? Here are a few examples of how to do it wrong. How to incorrectly correct those learning to use the gifts. If you know what rejections may come your way ahead of time, you are less likely to be overly affected by them. So first, forbid not. Many churches and groups forbid the function of the gifts under all or even some circumstances. Maybe they've been hurt, or there is a fear that someone will get hurt. So rather than run that risk of someone being hurt and have to learn that difficult task of how to deal with it, how do we deal with pain, how do we deal with being hurt or hurting others, the easiest, but the least profitable and least respectful approach is to simply forbid the exercise of the gifts at all. So because people do it wrong and people are hurt in the process, we aren't going to do it at all. This prohibition against the gifts does a tremendous disservice to both God and his people, and especially for those who desire consciously to know God. And choices will need to be made as to with whom we have fellowship. There may be times when believers have to make a decision about who we hang around with, if it comes into conflict with what God wants to do in our lives. Sometimes that can be real hard. But we need to be able to hear his voice and respond. And if he says, you have a choice to make, we need to understand that choice and act and choose wisely. So that's the first, how not to deal with making mistakes in the exercise of the gifts. Second is, quench not. The gifts of the Spirit, the supernatural gifts that function within you, with the Spirit flowing through you and through your supernatural gifts, these gifts are to function in the same respect as all other actions of our lives. Not only in recognition of the sole sovereignty of God, but in subjection to his rights. When we limit, restrict, or put boundaries on what God can and can't do in us individually or in groups, we are quenching the activities of the Spirit. For example, some fellowships only allow room for the movement of the gifts in their small groups rather than in their main congregational meetings. Likewise, some may restrict interruptions of the Spirit during a message. In other words, we have to finish the message first before God is allowed to speak. Another example is to put emphasis on certain manifestations at the expense of others. In other words, we like prophetic words and utterances, but not speaking in tongues. Though it is likely that at any given time, there will be more teaching by the Spirit on what he wants to train a group in. Even at that very same time, he may be leading others within that same group in time into a very different manifestation than what is being experienced by the rest of the group. God just does what he wants to do and doesn't like to be put in a box. 99% of the emphasis of what a particular group may be in one area. And that one person may be, yeah, but God's teaching me about this. And you need to be being trained by God. And saying, no, I'm going to go with my group. This is the group God's put me in, and that may be absolutely the case. So do both. But these are just a couple of examples of how we quench or dampen the freedom of the Spirit. Though mistakes will be made, the loving approach is not to quench the Spirit, but to learn from him how to deal and heal. We're going to have to learn how to deal with making mistakes. We're going to have to learn how to deal with rejection, how to go to God to get healed from these things. If you're going to be alive, you're going to get hurt. So get good at going to God to get healed. It'll come in handy. and it will take away that fear. If you know that when you go to him, he's going to heal you, he's going to comfort you, he's going to minister to you, you're less likely to refrain from stepping out of the boat, from acting on the instruction he gives you. So thirdly, despise not. Learning how to function in the supernatural gifts is a permanent part of our relationship with God. Yet, it is not something we ever want to take for granted. Our respect for the Lord and his character and his personhood, and therefore our new identity and that of others as spirit beings, is often reflected in our attitude toward his gifts. By putting in the time and paying attention and learning to take risks and giving all due diligence, we express our high regard for God himself. Are you likely to try something new if you've heard that people who try it get slammed down? Well, you want to be able to go to God and let him be your encourager. And when you take these opportunity seriously, you can go to him. You're keeping that communication pathway clear. If you were to lend someone your car and they bring it back dirty, maybe even with a ding in it, with no gas, and a fresh scratch in the paint, what does that say about what they think of you? Are you likely to lend them your car again? Though we want to be able to enjoy the functioning of the gifts in our lives constantly, every moment of every day, we don't want to treat them casually. We don't want to take them for granted. So let's stop now. If you are moving in a gift, just express appreciation. Lord, thank you for what you're already training me to do. I'm enjoying it. I want more. Lord, expand it in any direction that you choose. And I will do the work, the training, the tests. I'm willing to do what it takes to expand what you're already doing in my life. And anything new you want to do, however you want to do this, Lord, I'm up for it. So ask for, identify what you're working in now, what gifts are manifesting, and then ask for more. But remember that the goal is not to get good at a gift or multiple gifts, but to know God. To grow in dependence on him. The greater the challenge, the more we need God. So if you want to need him, if your goal is to be one with him, how we get there is by needing to know him. He does that very often by taking away those things that we have been depending on. And you've already given him permission to do it. He's just going to start doing it. So next is neglect not. We are to desire the gifts, giving them a high priority in our lives. So we have forbid not. This is not; these are ways we that are not what we want to do when dealing with making mistakes in learning how to move in the supernatural gifts. You don't just say, no, you can't do it. Forbid not. Quench not. Just stifle it. Okay, we're going to do some over here, but not over there. There's going to be a man-made, centralized control over how and what and how and who. Despise not. You know, these gifts aren't that important. We're not going to give them any training. We're not going to make room for them. We're not going to value them. These are what we don't want to do, and we don't want to neglect them. Give them a high priority in your life. Unfortunately, many believers feel that the functioning of the gifts ceased long ago. But as long as the Holy Spirit has quickened our spirit, the substance of our new life, the movement of His Spirit through us, will be at least in part by way of the gifts. So that if we reject the gifts for today, we are rejecting part of God's plan for our healing, intimacy with Him, and are hindering the purpose He has for us now. Though He doesn't condemn or shame us for this approach, a lot of times we just know what we've been taught. But we have to understand by continuing to believe that, we are remaining in bondage and only hurting ourselves. Similarly, there are those who don't feel the gifts are as important as other aspects of God's moving in our lives, such as Bible teaching, worship, evangelism, giving to the poor. But to neglect the gifts is to neglect God. Neglecting the gifts diminishes His movement in all other areas. It is often the very movement by the Lord through the gifts that proves to unbelievers that these other activities are being done according to the will of the living God. God very often proves Himself by movement through the supernatural gifts. If what we are saying and doing is by dependence on the Lord, the manifestation, the proof of the power of the Lord will in some way follow. It's not the other way around. We don't try to gin up the gifts in order to get God to move. But if God is moving, the gifts follow. So we'll pick it up here next week. We're going to talk about overcoming the abuse of the gifts then. If you've got any questions, don't hesitate to drop me a line at Diane@therainersclub.org or contact me through Blog Talk Radio. It's always good to hear from you, and I appreciate your good questions and some of the good discussions we're having. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together again next week, same time. Until then, this has been Diane Thomas of The Rainers Radio. Until next week, have a great night.